the best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title, it's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
You're listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary, and there is a lot coming up on the show today. We have everything from Ga to soccer to rugby, so do stay tuned until 7pm. And we had the Cork footballers who won today. Oh, the scenes against Tipperary at Semple Stadium. It was a draw at half time, only 1 goal, 5 points each, and Cork went on to absolutely annihilate Tipperary. You love to see it. And they will now go on to play Kerry, who beat Clare in the Munster final in Clarny on the 10th of May. And of course, we have the Cork hurlers who are playing Limerick tomorrow. But Limerick are without Aaron Gillan. What a bad one for them. But I can't say I'm confident enough about tomorrow's fixture. I don't know what it is. I think it's just my own gut feeling, to be honest. But we'll have to just see how it goes. I'm not going to the match because it's literally gold dust to get those tickets, to be honest. But I don't know if you heard it, but I'm sure you most definitely did, about Dara Fitzgibbon when he was celebrating and he hurt a child accidentally after winning their game against Tip. But the child is now a very lucky child because he gets to meet Fitzgibbon. But not only that, he is a guest at tomorrow's Munster Senior Hurling Championship clash against Limerick. So that is very exciting for him. And fair play to Dara Fitzgibbon for looking for the lad. But now we're going to move on to Premier League, where West Ham are still standing. They're above relegation after they beat Everton 2-1. And Liverpool are moved up to fourth place, where they beat Palace 3-1. And Tottenham managed to beat Wolves 1-0, but they are still in the relegation zone. And Fulham beat Villa 1-0, which probably won't affect Villa's Champions League hopes, to be honest. And we have Celtic as well, who are playing in the Scottish Premiership against Falkirk. So that is a good one. And Arsenal are currently leading as well in their game. So they might top the table. But will Man City come back? We'll just have to find out. It's going to be a long 5 games or so in the Premier League to see what's going to happen. Who's going to win? Is it going to be a blue ribbon or red ribbon on the Premier League trophy? But next up on the bench, we have myself and Dan Casey, also from the Big Red Bench, giving a bit of a preview for the Cork Hurlers game against Limerick at Parky Keefe tomorrow at 2pm. So you're listening to the Big Red Bench with myself and Dan Casey, and the big match is on tomorrow, Dan, isn't it?
It doesn't feel as big as the after a really positive result we had against Tip last week. I'd hate to be coming into this one off the back of a loss in that Tip game, because Limerick would love nothing more than to knock us out of the championship or go a long way in doing that. Feel a lot more positive now. Had a lot of worries about the team. Just what way we were headed, I guess, after the, you know, success or near success the last 2 years. You know, a lot of hurling fans were kind of maybe worried about what way this year was going to go. So it's just so nice to have, a win on the board, 2 points on the table. Coming to Limerick, there's a bit of pressure off now. You get the sense it'd be nice to lump the pressure on them and get a win over them. They are without Aaron Gillan, which is absolutely massive. And I think they'll be without him for the Clare game as well, which is absolutely massive. Clare could beat Limerick. It's not outside the realms of possibility. You'd have to fancy Limerick to win the Munster Championship. You'd have to fancy them to win the All-Ireland. But I am looking forward to what hopefully is a great atmosphere and great occasion in Super Value Park in Cueve tomorrow.
No, I actually can't wait to watch it, to be honest, because Aaron Gillan being out, what is it? He got like a calf injury in training on Tuesday, wasn't it?
He did, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, geez, they're only pulling a fast one them now.
I know, yeah.
Only so Kieran Joyce wouldn't get used to him or something like that. But I think the fact he's out for the Clare game as well, 2 games, wouldn't happen. So a player of his calibre, I think you have to play him. But it's a big advantage, Cork, it has to be said. He's gotten the better of Sean Dunhu on most occasions, but Sean has put it up to him in the All-Ireland semi that we beat him in. So on the big days, you know, Sean can take him. I'd fancy Ciarán Joyce to have a real cut off him, though. Would have been an interesting matchup to see how that one went, especially for the year ahead. Limerick might be saying, okay, well, maybe it actually helps us that we're not, that Cork aren't getting to see how Joyce matches up against them. So, yeah, that'll come in time. But yeah, it's a big advantage to Cork, them not having Gillan. But look, they have serious forward line anyway. Peter Casey and co are no slouches in there either.
No, definitely not. But William Buckley and what is it, Barry Walsh, that's his name, isn't it? The other number 12, yes, that plays with Killah, isn't it?
It is.
It's his first championship to both of them, and they got, what, 10 points between them last week? Unbelievable.
They were both incredible. Like, they led the line. Barry Walsh and William Buckley, like, I've been so impressed with these guys since they've come in. And what Barry Walsh, he's only 19 years old. He was not alive last day in Cork going in All-Ireland, which is just incredible. But he started that game off poor enough, like sketchy enough. He, you know, dropped a few balls, gave possessions back to tip. I think they got resulting scores off of him, if I'm remembering it correctly.
No, you're right.
And just the confidence and freedom to play, you know, he didn't let that infect him and he drove it on, and he's some player.
Exactly.
He's going to get goals. He's going to get goals coming in this coming championship. He's mad to just take that ball and run for goal. His options will come. I think we'll see it. This is only the start for the two of these guys. You'd have to be so impressed. William Buckley, of course, rightly so, the man of the match against the All-Ireland champions. He was incredible. Very excited, which is mad in a full forward line of Brian Hayes and Aaron Connolly, who've been around for the last while, that young William was the one who stood out. But they're both incredible players and very exciting for Cork hurling in the future.
No, it was unbelievable, to be fair. Like, I actually was delighted that we actually beat Tipperary, like, because they were lucky to win the All-Ireland final. Not a bit of skill amongst them, like.
You said it, not me. I wind them up on social media. But good to see the continuation of this on air anyway. Ah, look, I have my own thoughts on that Tip All-Ireland. They could well go back-to-back. They could kick on. I do fancy Waterford to beat them tomorrow. I had a sneaking suspicion before this whole championship started. Walsh Park is a very tough place to go. If they lose that one, you have to say they're facing out of this championship. I don't see a way back from after that. But yeah, we have to get over the line. I know it's good now. We can kind of laugh, and there's a certain, you know, bit of revenge element coming into this, but we have to win that out of Ireland. I don't care if we have a stinker of a year after. Win that cup, and I just don't care. That's keeping me happy for the next 2-3 years anyway, to be totally honest about it.
I know, honestly, I'll actually forget about the next few years if we won it this year. Whatever about next year, when it comes along, if we won the All-Ireland this year, wouldn't bother me at all. I'd be like, grand, we won it last year.
I know, but like the fever around Cork for this All-Ireland is absolutely incredible. It's, you know, you can just feel it in the air.
You can, yeah.
The drive from this fan base to get this team over the line is incredible. And it's, at some point it is going to happen, and at some point it will be the biggest of All-Ireland of all time. It'll be the most hard fought for. It'll be the most supported. Like, the Cork hurling team are the best supported team in the country, barring the two national teams in the rugby and football. Like, they are sitting there as the best supported GA team in the country, bar absolutely nobody. So yeah, the fans deserve it. The players probably deserve it. Management, we need to go and put it together now. And this fixture tomorrow, it's what started it all. Like, there's, you know, a certain element in my, I'm guilty of it myself, actually, even yesterday. I was kind of thinking, look, it's not the worst thing in the world if we don't beat Limerick tomorrow, and we'll take it and move on. We already have 2 points on the board. But this is the fixture 2 years ago that kicked Cork hurling into life. If it wasn't for Shane Kingston making that run, if it wasn't for Kyle Hayes dragging Shane Kingston down for the penalty that then Hoggy stuck, and then Brian Hayes bringing it into the corner, Cork hurling is not in the place we are now. We would have been out of the Munster Championship that year. Does Pat Ryan even keep his job? Do we make the final the year after or win a Munster in the league? Probably not. We do not know what happens if that one event didn't happen on that field in Parky Cueve. It was an incredible night. One of my, probably the best moment of my life, that Hoggy penalty. It'll be with me forevermore, to be honest about it. There needs to be a certain reverence attached to this match coming into it. And maybe there's a bit of, I don't know, willingness to pawn an office mod, but the importance of it. How great would it be to put a stamp on it? In our own backyard, we have not been beaten in Parky Cueve, the hurlers, in that stadium since that night 2 years ago.
Unbelievable.
So it's become a fortress. It was a soulless ball before that night. It just kicked the stadium into life. It kicked Cork curling into life. It was just one of those special nights. Hopefully tomorrow is a special day. I think John Coyley is afraid of the Cork Raucous atmosphere. There was rumour, I can't speak about how true it is really or not. There's rumour that Limerick didn't want the game on a Saturday, that they wanted the game on the 2 o'clock on a Sunday as well. That speaks to me, like, he's afraid of that raucous Cork crowd.
They're scared.
The noise that they're going to bring. that they were afraid of that 7 o'clock fixture that happened on Saturday 2 years ago. Because it was just such a special moment. Look, people are enjoying themselves on the beer for the day, obviously. But I think they're running a bit from that atmosphere. The fact that he felt the need to put up a call to arms for the Limerick support during the week to cheer every single action. The fact he needs to do that, I don't think he's ever done that before. I think it's very telling. He's afraid of that Cork atmosphere, as they should be, to be honest.
Very much so. Like, I don't think a lot of Limerick supporters could get down to Parky Keefe, to be honest. All the tickets were gone.
I should look at it again. I said we keep banging on about it, but like, yeah, it's an incredible sport. Tickets are like gold dust for this game. Yeah. Luckily, I have them. I'll be in the Black Rock Terrace, so
jealous.
Not a bad spot to be, but it'll be an even better spot with a win, hopefully, coming out of the Limerick game tomorrow.
I hope so too. Get us more points on the board and get us towards that All-Ireland Championship. Thank you very much, Dan, for coming on to the Big Red Bench. And enjoy the match tomorrow.
Pleasure as always. I'll talk about Cork curling anytime anyway, so no hassle.
Up next on the bench, I'm speaking to David Rooney from Cork Skateboarding Association, which yesterday they had their official launch as a not-for-profit organisation. And they have a few events planned for the public up their sleeves. And they also just did one today at Mallow Skate Park. All right, so I'm here at the Liberty with David Rooney once again. Third interview with the legend. But we are here for something very special. What are we here for, David?
We're here for the launch of Cork Skateboarding Association. We are officially a non-profit. We're looking to get funding from Cork City Council to fund future events and to grow the skateboarding community.
And I believe you have one tomorrow, which will be past present tomorrow, because that's when it's playing out. So tell me a bit about that, because is it similar to the other events you do?
Yeah, so we've already done a skateboarding event on Patrick's Day in the Mardyke. That was great fun. And now what we're looking to do is hold the first ever event in Mallow. So Mallow, they just got a brand new park. It's made by the same people. Really cool park. The actual Tony Hawk skated it.
I actually seen that, because I actually said it to one of my friend's moms, and she said, "Do you know Tony Hawk skated there?"
Yeah. Sounds like a joke or something, but no, he was actually there and he skated the park, and super fun park and really big and well designed. So like, why not make use of this community amenity that we have already built for us, you know?
Definitely. Is there any hopes of an indoor one, do you think?
Down the line now, we'll see how much this page grows. Joe, that's kind of the dream, you know, but baby steps for now.
I will say, you are growing very fast, though. Like, you had 1,000 followers in the space of a week or two, didn't you?
Yeah, and now we're on 1,800 now, I think.
Jeez, that's mad. Sure, I think when I followed you, it was about 1,100.
Yeah.
So that's a big jump, to be fair.
No, we're trying to connect with other, like, skate communities and skate associations around Ireland. I mentioned, like, the GSA and the ISA. They've been amazing, really successful, really productive groups that have already secured skate parks, that have already done events around the country. And like, we're just trying to emulate that kind of with a Cork twist is all.
And I've no doubt you're actually going to do it, to be honest. Like, I'm seeing the effect you have already. And you had like 100 or so people at your last event, even more, I think.
Yeah, no, we were blessed with the weather. We were blessed with all the support, and it turned out to be an amazing day altogether.
It's amazing. Like, when you first started this with your friends, what did you think was going to happen?
Look, we were just trying to, I suppose, take the mantle from kind of taking inspiration. When we were younger, we all had people looking out for us in the skateboarding community. We had, like, Tony from Guam. We had Nicky O'Keefe looking over us as well. And both those people were always really, really good to us, and they always held events and provided a place to skate, and they were like father figures for us, you know. They were kind of men that we could trust and to hold events and keep us safe and help us encourage doing the sport. And now that we're grown up, we find that maybe it's our turn to do it, you know. So I wasn't really sure if it was how much success we'd have with it or what exactly we'd end up doing or how we do it, but like, we all have different strengths in the group. Like, one, like, I can't do any of the forms at all. I'm a little bit allergic to it, you know. The mind just goes blank and I run away.
You're like me, so just the media.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can't wait to get rich enough that I can hire somebody to do all the bills for me. But I might avoid a load of parking fines. But Cork City Council, for all the parking fines you've given me, it's not nothing personal. Nothing personal at all. I deserved every single one of them. But no, look, we weren't exactly sure how quickly or how well the organisation was going to grow. We're very happy with it so far, and all we aim to do is to keep it going.
Exactly. And no, in fairness, what you've been doing lately is unbelievable. But Tony Hawk, when was it that you skateboarded in that park? Now I'm curious.
I think it was October or something. I'm not exactly sure. It was unannounced, like, Joe, because he's the poor man. He's definitely been in the limelight for, like,
more years
than he hasn't, like, Joe.
Yeah.
I think 35, like, since he was a teenager, he was kind of a pro skater. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the dude's in his 50s now, like, the dude's grandfather. Mm. So, yeah, I think it wasn't announced. He just came by on an Ireland trip. But by the time he went up to the north, he was in Portrush in Arcadia Skate Park, or Arcadia Skate Shop. By the time he came up north, people were aware that the actual Tony Hawk was here. And I think they had a bit of a party for him up there as well, and those Nordies know how to party, like.
Even I'd get excited, and I'm only really delving into the skateboarding world in the last, like, what, 2 months, I'd say.
Well, like, it's rare that you meet somebody who's been on a game, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's true. But what I was going to say is, because I live down that way, at the marina, do you know where they have the sheltered...
The Marina Market.
The Parky Keefe. Right by Parky Keefe.
Oh, yeah,
there's, like,
yeah,
a red kind of hot.
Yeah.
I see people skating there all the time.
I've skated there the odd time, yeah.
It's actually beginning to actually make me feel sorry for you, because it's the only little sheltered place, and it's literally, I'd say, 20 metres of room in there, like.
I've skated under bridges before when it was been raining, you know. You'll make it work anywhere, you know. I've skated in a garage, I've skated inside. And yeah, like, it's not that much to ask for Olympic amenities for an Olympic sport, you know?
No, it actually isn't, because that's what I was thinking as well.
Like, if a man can play a handball, surely a man can go to a skate park, you know?
No, definitely.
Or a woman, or somebody who identifies as non-binary, everyone's welcome.
Exactly. No, because the amount of people I'm actually seeing, ever since I talked to you, I've noticed it a lot more, the amount of people on skateboards.
Okay.
And it's equivalent to how much people would go around with a soccer ball and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just needs to be recognised, in my opinion.
Yeah, because, like, back in the day, like, that was seen as a super weird thing. Everybody's heads would turn,
yeah,
you know. People kind of looked down at your nose at you.
You kind of had that stereotype, all right, that,
yeah,
like, you were trouble and you're not,
massively,
like.
Massively prevalent when I was younger. Whereas now, 9 times out of 10, when you pass somebody in the board, they're, like, excited to see it. Or
genuinely
interested, you know.
That is definitely true.
Which is kind of nice.
And is there anything then that, like, you want to add that we maybe haven't... We haven't talked in a few weeks. Is there anything new going on?
Well, look, we're pretty flat out now this week, seeing as we're having the launch tonight and we're having another public event tomorrow night. All that I can say is that we have stuff in the works for Culture Night.
Okay.
We celebrated Culture Night before, but more with crack skateboards. We had a bit of an event a long time ago in Grand Parade. We'd be looking to set that up again, but, like, in a more official manner, let's say, in conjunction with Cork City Council. There's a couple of things with Cork City Council we have in the works. I don't want to give away any details as of yet, but
no problem.
But yeah, plenty of momentum going behind us.
You'll keep me updated anyway, and I will let everyone know.
I certainly will.
Thank you very much again for talking to me, David.
A pleasure.
Absolute legend David Rooney from Cork Skateboarding Association. And the little score update for you: Celtic are 2-0 up against Falkirk, so they are now level with Hearts at the top, but our Hearts are ahead on goal difference. And it is nil all between Man City and Southampton as the second half just kicked off. Southampton had a disallowed goal, which is very unfortunate for them. But next up on the Big Red Bench, we have Cork, who begin their 2026 Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship campaign at home to Tipperary in Parky Ring, my apologies, shortly at 7 p.m. this evening. The newly crowned National League Division 1 champions will be hoping to get their provincial championship off to a winning start. Earlier in the week, the Big Red Bench's Jermaine Carty caught up with Nava Bawn and Cork senior forward Grace Murphy to review the big game.
Now, ahead of Cork's Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship opening round clash with Tipperary, we are delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Nava Bawn and Cork senior footballer Grace Murphy. Grace, you're very welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good, thanks, Ger. A lot better after last weekend anyway.
Yes, a lot better after last weekend. Before we talk and look ahead to the Munster Championship, which starts at Parky Ring on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, April 25th against Tip, the good news for Cork LGFA and senior football, in your own words, shouting at me and all the media afterwards, is we're back. So a fantastic result to beat Galway in the National League Division 1 final at the TUS Gaelic Grounds. We were there, we were in the aftermath of it, we were talking to yourself as well. How good were the celebrations that night, or can you go into too many details on that?
We definitely enjoyed ourselves all right, but we're obviously conscious that we've championship in a week's time. That's where our priorities lie, I suppose. It was more just the atmosphere all this week and stuff was great. It was great to get a win. I think it's good for us as a team and it's good for the county as well. Obviously, we've had a bit of a lull in regards to silverware these last couple of years. So it was just great to bring something back and all the support that we got. Every year, really. It was great to give something back to all of those supporters and all the people who put so much time into Cork LGFA.
Yeah, very well said. And I think that is the thing I've noticed about it, the vibe since then. There's a feel-good factor around this particular panel of players, not just because you won the National League Division 1 title, but you've come straight up from Division 2. So, as we've been told many times before, and Joe is very happy to point out to us, Joe Carroll, the manager, you know, a lot of people in the media were saying, you know, if Cork stay up, they'd be doing well, first year back up. You didn't think like that at all. So obviously you wanted to do as well as you possibly could in Division 1, Grace. But at what point did you kind of realise, hang on here, like, we're on a run here, or did you think that from the beginning?
I think that we didn't actually think too far ahead that way. I think they're very good management, Joe, Chris, everyone inside there, just keeping it one game at a time. And then it actually got to the point where we were keeping it one half at a time. And I think that kind of method really worked well for us. We were able to keep our heads in the game. And there was so many times throughout the league campaign that we might not have been in the position that we wanted to be in, whether it be coming in at half time, whether it be 15 minutes into a game or 15 minutes to go in a game. So that kind of mindset of just concentrating on being in the moment and the next ball, the next play, I think that's what kind of got us our success. So there was no point really that I was thinking, oh, we're on for a win here. But at the same time, we tried to keep our confidence. There was a lot of, as you said, negative talk about us the whole time before. But we just tried to block it out, I think, and it obviously did us good in the long term.
It certainly did, because what a run the National Football League you went on. I mean, going up to Armagh and winning, going out to Kerry and winning. I know the weather and the conditions, and you're not necessarily playing teams, you know, championship teams, but it's the same for Cork. How much of suffering relegation as a county and get drove this group? Because there's a resolve, and there's a few players that were there a while back, as far back as 2018. There's only a handful of them left now. This is a very different panel that you've become a part of, Grace. There's a lot of players coming in for the first time, a lot of different clubs involved as well. But you know, the resolve of going down and suffering relegation and coming straight back up, getting out of Division 2 is not easy. Anyone that knows anything about ladies football knows how difficult, just like the men, with the Cork senior men, getting out of Division 2 can be. But you did it at the first attempt. And I noticed that this is a hardened team now, in terms of there's a bit of resolve and a bit of bite about you. And it certainly helped you this year.
Definitely. Well, I think Seán Kelly actually put us best kind of back in January, where Cork are not a Division 2 team. Traditionally, they've always been Division 1. We would have all grown up watching the Cork ladies footballers competing and winning Division 1, competing and winning at the highest standard. And a lot of the girls, as you said, have been involved the last couple of years and have just been unlucky, really. But there's never been a point where they weren't able to be Division 1. So I think we've never held ourselves to a lower standard than Division 1. And that kind of helped us get our confidence about us and not be too nervous going up against these big teams like Kerry and going all the way up to Armagh. And I think this win now is going to help us and build that confidence again.
It certainly is. The other thing, I suppose, before we just get into the Munster Senior Football Championship, Grace, the new rules, they've definitely suited you. And I know you as a centre forward and as a forward, you're able to just... How has it helped you? Oh, that's the easiest question.
I suppose just before they came in, we were kind of wondering, would they? A lot of the time they were talking about it was going to be a more physical game. We were kind of having to judge how that was going to work. But the solo and go is obviously really suiting us. I mean, we've a lot of very pacey players on the team, so that does suit us. We must kind of get our heads around the two-pointer yet, and we might find a bit of success there. But it's just great. I think for us as players, it's super. It's giving us a bit more freedom on the pitch and letting the play move a lot freer. And I think for the supporters, it's just so much more entertaining to watch. I think every single game now this year has been just such a higher standard to watch. So much more enjoyment there. And it's just great to get a bit of respect into the ladies' football. I mean, they were so successful in the men's football. So I think there was no reason not to bring them in into the ladies' game then as well.
Yeah, well said. I agree with you on that. Last year, you came out of a National League Division 2 final at Croke Park. You were unlucky to lose to Galway in that. You went straight into the Munster Championship, lost to Kerry, beat Tipperary down in Federer on a very difficult day, and then lost to Waterford. So that experience, I would imagine, is that in the back of your minds as you prepare for Tipperary, that the Munster Senior Football Championship now in the LGFA is as tight and as difficult as it has ever been, because you've got three quality opponents, and whatever's gone before and the success that you've had in the National League, and you fully deserved it, is last year a bit of a warning sign that you've got to be ready for this?
We would have been preparing and being as ready as we possibly could be, whether we won, lost or draw last weekend, really. Like I said, we're concentrating on every single match. It's definitely going to be in the back of the mind of a few of the girls, but I mean, it's kind of our choice whether we leave that drive us on or whether we kind of get a bit scared and get a bit caught up by that. Every single team is out there to win. There's no team that wants to be getting beaten by a team, whether they're Division 2 or Division 1. So I think everyone's going to be performing at their best and thriving to play their best on the day, no matter what the circumstances was last year or this year.
You never get an easy game from Tip. They're always awkward opponents. And in fact, it's in Parkyring where you've had a good run this year. I mean, that's probably a positive for you too. And the fact it's a Saturday night throw-in as well at 7 o'clock, you'd be hoping that a big crowd turns up, because crowds have started to come back on this National League run. Yeah. But you would be the first person to tell me that, you know, this is a serious Tip team. They are Division 2, but when it comes to Munster Championship, they don't really have any fear of Cork. So you need to be on it from the first minute.
Definitely. We'd know a couple of the Tip girls as well, because we played UCC with them this year. They're a quality team. So we're going to prepare for them like we would any other team. Hopefully it'll be a very good match. We're very lucky to have home advantage, I think, for the first one. Be nice to settle into it that way. But yeah, we'll be preparing now away this week and hopefully going into the game nice and calm and collected.
There's a few Nava Vaughan teammates on the Cork Intercounty panel. Do you travel together? And if so, what is that experience like?
Yeah, it's just super having the Nava Vaughan girls inside there. It was very handy to have people you know when you're going in. Obviously, it's my first year in there, so it's nice to have a few familiar faces. And we are kind of all over. Lydia's up in UL at the moment, or up in Mary Eye, should I say. Rosie's full-time dentist as well, so she's kept preoccupied off the pitch as well. But it's great to have them in there. Get a bit of team spirit in there, and when you already have a few teammates, it's a lot easier to get closer with the other ones. So it's super, and it's just super for Nava Vaughan as a club as well. We're kind of a younger team when we were always a bit lower divisions and stuff, so I think it's great for the club to see that all the hard work and the commitment the club is putting into us as players is hopefully paying off for them.
Indeed, and we're going to be talking a lot about Nava Vaughan as the year goes on, but right now it's all about Cork Senior Football and in the LGFA in the Munster Senior Championship, that first round game against Tipperary. Just finally, Grace, you've made the step up to Intercounty, and that forward role and the new rules and the solo and go suits your type of game, but it is still an intensely physical game at this level. But do you feel you've had a good look at it now? You've been involved in the training side of it, the strength and conditioning, the fact that you've been through a successful National League campaign heading into this Munster Championship as an individual player. Are you more confident now just in your setup and around you?
Definitely. I was so, so lucky with the management that we have and the team that we have. They trusted me a lot, I think, putting me in centre forward on my first year up. But it was great. They're super to build my confidence. And all the girls were... I was so lucky that I have great leadership on the pitch. There's girls with experience, and then there's girls who are closer in age with me as well. So they're kind of proving it doesn't matter what age you are, what, how much experience you have, we're all the one team on the pitch, and everyone's there to support each other and drive each other on. So I'm very lucky to have that kind of set up in there.
And they're very lucky to have a forward like yourself. And ahead of Saturday night's Cork's Munster LGFA Senior Football Championship opening round clash with Tipperary at Parky Ring with a 7 o'clock throw-in on Saturday, April 25th. Grace Murphy, to you and to the Cork team, we wish you all the best and thank you for your time here on the Big Red Bench.
Thanks very much, sir.
The Big Red Bench.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
Tomorrow, April 26th, it's Energia All-Ireland League Finals Day. First up is the Women's Decider as reigning champions UL Bohemians take on Blackrock at 1:30. That's followed by the Men's Decider as St Mary's take on Clontarf at 4 p.m. Both games are at the Aviva Stadium tomorrow. Energia AIL updates are with thanks to Energia. Think of the possibilities. You're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. And now we have a bit of rugby for you. So Munster are currently in action against Ulster. So we'll see how that goes in just a moment. The fallout to the province's appointment of Roger Randall has continued this past week. Randall will join the club as a tack coach next season. However, the appointment has been met with a backlash after it emerged that Randall was charged with an alleged rape in 1997. The case did not proceed after the complainant dropped the charges. Rory spoke to Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes about the issue on this week's episode of the Red 78 podcast.
That is the feeling out there, particularly in that last message, that there's a disconnect becoming now and a frustration, I think, with Munster fans. The stuff that's happened in the last, not just in the last week, a couple of weeks ago, with the announcement of redundancies being asked for, the results, the latest situation with Roger Randall, I think it's just the last thing the team need at the moment, and it's just one kind of negative story after the other. We can't avoid that. That's the reality. That's what people stop me and ask me on the streets. I think people are genuinely concerned. There's a worry that it is dysfunctional, and that's the reality here, and that there needs to be a serious review and look at this whole situation, because there's a number of things going on that people are not happy about. And, you know, last week Munster, you know, announced their kind of promotional video for season tickets for next year. It's a business. You need bums on seats. You need people to renew. There's talk of people not renewing their season tickets because of the situation with the assistant coach. Again, we have to clarify, you know, there was an accusation made. Proceedings were withdrawn. The accusation wasn't. It's 29 years ago, is it, or 27 years ago?
29
years ago. Roger Randall has coached consistently and played after that, and coached in different countries. And obviously, it's nothing personal against Roger Randall, but I think Munster should have stayed away from it. I think they should have... And that's where the frustration and probably I'm kind of head scratching here, thinking, you know, if people were consulted openly, particularly the Professional Games Board, we saw three of them resigning last week: Killian Keane, Billy Holland, Mick O'Driscoll. You know, obviously, if they're consulted and you're in a room and you're making a decision about your assistant coach and your recruitment, one person in that room puts their hand up and says, look, again, this is nothing personal to the person involved, but there was a situation, it was an accusation. Let's just not go there, because we've had a few situations in Irish rugby, and we don't need to go there. We need to galvanise people. We need to bring the fans on board. We don't need to do this situation. let's get somebody else. The kind of the situation around that decision has obviously been, and I respect Clayton McMillan and I respect his opinion in a sense of he went on the media last week and said he respects people's opinions. My opinion is I understand where he's coming from. He's a former police chief in New Zealand. He's stood by this guy. And we can't say whether that's right or wrong. You just have to admire loyalty sometimes. But it's a very precarious position. And it's a very, very, dangerous situation here. But, you know, he stood by him, spoke about him. He's worked with him before. And he wanted him. So the problem we have here is the disconnect at board level, that there's a group of people that want to coach and decide he's coming, and then there's a group of other people who weren't consulted about this, and it's caused problems. And we can't hide away from the fact there's issues and problems there, whether Roger Randall has signed a contract, whether he's coming, he's not coming. At the moment, we've heard nothing to say that he's not coming, but there's people not happy about it. And it's just the last thing the team could have done with last week. Now, they went to Benetton and they produced probably one of their, not most flamboyant performances, but certainly one of their most consistent performances around, you know, energy, aggression, and just being kind of ruthless in their whole approach, which was a very timely win and a very needy win, because the situation we've highlighted last week about, you know, not being in Europe next year is catastrophic. It is up on €1 million euro and the difference there. European rugby playing the Champions Cup is really, really important for Munster. So it has a knock-on effect with sponsors and people buying tickets, all that kind of stuff. So it's very obvious how important it is for them to be in the Champions Cup. So the result of the weekend was really, really good. And we'll get into the game itself in a minute, but we can't hide away from this situation that happened last week. Mm-hmm. The commercial board, it's been reported yesterday and today that the commercial board have stepped down as well. It's not a good situation, and I don't take any joy in speaking about this. I wish we didn't have to speak in it. I'm concerned about my former club. Everybody would love to see them, you know, talking about on-field stuff, even if the results aren't as important, but there's a few off-field stuff situations that have cropped up, and that's the reality, and people are very concerned about it. So we don't know where that's going to go or where it's going to end up. But the result was good, and the only thing the players can focus on this week is trying to get a team ready and prepare for Ulster. But my opinion is it shouldn't have happened, and it's nothing personal against the coach involved. I think we as Munster, I say that as a former player, we should have just stayed away from it. And that's the reality of how I feel about it. So let's see what happens from here on in.
Yeah, Fiona, when this was announced, you texted me straight away, like an article from South Africa from 1997 outlining the details of this case. It doesn't make for very pleasant reading. Now you've had a week to, I suppose, think about it and absorb it. What are your feelings on the whole thing now?
Yeah, the exact same feelings, Rory. I don't understand the appointment. I know, obviously, there's been no prosecution or anything in this case, but like if you look at statistics as well, and I've gone back looking at it, if you look back at the late 1990s in South Africa, I think out of all rapes that were, that were brought to the police, only under 5% were prosecuted. And very little were actually taken to trial. So you have to look at, and I know it's alleged and I understand that, but the accusation was never withdrawn. So for me, just to have that even associated with Munster, it's at the timing of everything that's going on around, it's a terrible, terrible look. And I understand sometimes these things can happen, but then for Munster to come out and double down and say we've done our due diligence, it is not a good look. There is in Irish rugby, in Munster,
you look at the values of Munster Rugby, the club, the people around it. When you see volunteers resigning, you know there's a problem. When you hear of a mass number of season ticket holders that will not renew their season ticket, there's obviously massive issues. So I understand, and Quinny's spot on with everything. I mean, you're not judge and jury here. You're just looking at Munster Rugby. And I think
that's important, Fiona, because I've thought about this both ways, and I have to be very careful what I say. Mm. But like, there's two situations here. He either didn't do this alleged assault, or he did. It should not be our problem that we're discussing this. That seems very unfair, because you can imagine if the guy is innocent and he did nothing, and it was a false allegation and there was a spurious motive behind it. It's an horrendous thing to carry, first to be accused of that and then to carry it. So that's one thing that could happen. And or either else he was involved in it and did something. You know, like, it could be either or, but... So both sides and both people have an opinion, and you have people who respect this guy in New Zealand, Roger Randall, and speak highly of him, and you have to respect their opinions as well, because either way you go on this, you're going to possibly get criticised. But unfortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you view it, we just can't go there. The world has changed, and rightly so. It's changed now that, you know, women need to be protected more and respected more in society, and the situation now with Munster. And I think, like I said at the start, when you have people who decide to make a decision, there's other people involved in the PGB who don't know about this and weren't consulted. And it's dirty linen out in public for Munster's, you know, business here has been debated on newspapers and online platforms. And, you know, I get both sides of it. And I said, if Roger Randall is 100% innocent, which he is, he's not been charged. We have to acknowledge that this guy, Roger Randall, has never been charged with anything. So you have to have the presumption of innocence, but there is a cloud there. And unfortunately, you know, we shouldn't have went there as Munster. And, you know, Clayton asked for people to trust him and back him, and you know, he respects people's opinions, and unfortunately, you got to read the room here. People are really, really divided on this and are not happy with it, and we've created this situation out of not communicating with people and asking people's opinions, and being really, the due diligence for me is, yes, you can do the due diligence on the case and the facts and the information, and I'm sure Clayton would have been privy to a lot of that through his work as a police officer. But again, it's a situation that the due diligence for me would have been common sense here, and genuinely, and it seems unfair on Roger Randall, and I'm sure he is a nice fella and the whole lot, and I've never met the guy, but speak to people in the room who were involved in making these decisions in Munster. And, you know, the RFU, the decision was made before the RFU. I think they have the power to make decisions around assistant coaches. So, look, it's just a mess. We could go on about it. I don't know where it's going to end up, but we need some sort of leadership now from the people behind the scenes. And because I don't think it's going away. I don't think people are... You cannot have a situation where you have people not renewing their season tickets and fans being divided about this. I just don't know why it came to this situation. It's the last thing the team needs, particularly when they're in a bit of turmoil and they're you know, striving to try and make knockout stages of Europe. And like I said a few weeks ago, they win the four games, the next three games, they've won one of the four, they win the next three, which is not out of the question. It's going to be very difficult. But they could have a home quarterfinal. You know, there's a lot to play for yet, even though it's been a very, very, very disappointing season so far.
Fiona, is there lasting reputational damage for Munster following this week and the appointment of Randall?
It just depends how they deal with it. I think organisations make errors, things happen, but I presume... if there is a serious, if there's even further backlash and Munster ignore it, then I think there is lasting damage there. But I feel like they do have a chance, even with the RFU. I can't believe that they've let this appointment happen. We've heard of other things in the past with players coming over being blocked straight away due to stuff that has gone on in the background. So it's baffled me that it's got this far, to be honest. But certainly I do feel like if it'll all depend on what happens in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah, and Quinny, like, is the blowback here, and I suppose the reaction to it, is Randall's appointment actually going to happen? I mean, like, is there a chance that, like, they're going to say, look, no, we can't go through with this? Or are they just going to, I suppose, try and weather the storm here and just plow on regardless?
I don't know. And it's a pity because, as I said, it's a pity it's come to this. But I think Munster have to listen to the fans in a sense of their feelings and the situation. And then you've got, like, you can't, in any sport, and we've seen it probably for years with Manchester United, with the owners, the Glazers, all of the protests, and, you know, you have to listen to your fans and your supporters, because they're the ones who ultimately generate, you know, the finances. I know sponsors do a massive part at that level, but we don't want to see a situation where you have people protesting or people not renewing their tickets. It's the last thing this club needs at the moment. There is some good young players coming through. There's obviously some good things happening in Munster, but there has to be a bit of a look at all this and see how it's run and how it's operated, that there's been a disconnect amongst the people who make the decisions there. It needs to be reviewed stringently, because it's too big a club and too important to Irish rugby. And I suppose I say that as a Munster man, but that's the way I feel about it. Regarding Roger Randall coming, I don't know. Because obviously, you know, that was mentioned last week, and that's stuff I was hearing, that there's a contract signed. So if he doesn't come, there'll be financial implications, and they'll probably have to, you know, it'll cost Munster money and the RFU money. So I don't know where it's at. If they proceed with it, who knows? And he comes and arrives, and I just find it, I think it'll be difficult, and it's very unfair on him if he comes here and he feels unwelcome and people are not happy about it. I don't know. I can't dictate or decide what people will feel, but I would worry about that situation, that people, I'm not sure people will accept the situation. And some will argue that it's unfair. And like I said, if for him, you know, his inability to work and coach and all that kind of stuff, it could be very, very unfair. But again, it's something that just is a reality. And I think life has changed a lot here. And in Ireland, people are, for the better, as I said, protection for women and support, not just in sexual assault cases, but just general respect and all that, the way women are treated. And this is part and parcel of it. And it's a cloud. It's an alleged, an allegation here. But I don't know, Rory, is my answer. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I suspect in the next, we need, you know, I'm genuinely not criticizing Clayton McMillan for sticking up for someone he knows well here, because sometimes in life we need, you know, if there is false allegations made in any situation, or if they're true or false, but certainly if you believe that someone close to you has been falsely accused of something and there was due process, whatever, and you back them, fair enough, that's loyalty, and I, you know, people have to respect that as well. But he came out last week, and so I don't know how he would feel if this didn't happen or go through. And I suspect that's part of the problem, that maybe, you know, he was, you know, very adamant that he wanted this to happen. So it just creates a not a good situation amongst the whole staff. Mm-hmm. You know, Prendy leaving as well. It's just, we're all we're getting is tricky stories and not good news stories. Now, Edwin Adogbo signed a new contract is a new good story. Calvin Nash, and like I said, you can. It'd be great if we were talking about the positive things. That was a brilliant performance on Saturday night, like I said, and it'd be lovely to come on here talking about the match. But these are the questions that I'm sure you're getting asked as well, Fiona. Everywhere I've gone is what's going on in Munster. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? What about this? What about that? People are calling me. Like I said, everyone has a different opinion, or maybe an opinion, their own opinion. You've got to respect that. But it's just a pity that we're at this juncture, and I don't know if this will go through. As it stands, he signed a contract, and he was announced last week by Munster as the new assistant coach.
Coming up next on the Big Red Bench, we have Aaron King speaking ahead of tonight's Women's Six Nations game with France.
Aaron King, we're here in Stade Marcel Michelin. Over 15,000 tickets sold for tomorrow night. It's going to be an absolute cauldron, isn't it?
Yeah, I think looking at the stadium, our coach has told us that the crowd were very much on top of you. But yeah, the stands are really steep, so we're really excited to see the rugby town of Claremont and see them coming out.
I know Gareth and Alan both played here. I think Alan got a big win over Claremont for Ulster a couple of years ago. What have you been able to take from their advice going into this one?
Yeah, a lot of the coaches have played in France and spoken to us about how special it is winning away in France, and just the atmosphere and the culture here is just amazing, and they love their rugby, and yeah, just kind of embracing that energy and kind of thriving off that energy instead of kind of going into our shells. So yeah, I think we've had a good few experiences now playing in big crowds and playing in big stadiums that are really loud, so hopefully that'll stand to us tomorrow.
Is that something you can take from the England game? Obviously 77 odd thousand people are there. You're kind of used to the big occasion now.
Yeah, I don't even think they're like big occasions to us anymore now, which is such a good thing to say. Like, it's just another game and we treat them all the same, no matter if there's, you know, 70,000 people there or five people there. You know, our prep is the same and we focus on ourselves and focus on the rugby, but it is great to see that the women's game is going in that direction.
This feels like a huge opportunity tomorrow. I suppose Ireland have never won on French soil. Only two teams have ever done it. Do you feel like you have a real chance at it tomorrow?
I guess I'd be lying if I said we didn't. We have obviously taken a lot of confidence from that Italy win last week, and training's been going well. But saying that, you know, it's never been done before in the women's game. We've never come over and beaten France in a Six Nations away, so it's not an easy thing. And they've been going really well in the Six Nations, and they've got a really strong squad with a new coach. So yeah, it's not going to be easy. But saying that, I do think we've got the game plan and the players and the talent in our squad to do it, and we've got that motivation as well, I think, because the last two times we played them, we've brought it really close, and we've spoken a lot over the last year about breaking into that top four and bridging the gap between ourselves and, you know, the rest of the teams that are above us in the standings. So yeah, I think it's a great opportunity, and I think we're raring to go.
What are the main threats you're kind of looking at with France? Obviously Bourdon, Sansu is obviously the talking point coming into a lot of these games, but there's a great team behind her as well.
Yeah, I think we've obviously spoken about her a lot. Like, their nine loves a running game, so we'll hopefully close her down. And then their pack is really solid. They've got a big pack, so we just need to make sure that we're solid in and front up physically from the get-go. I think we need a quick start because they haven't been starting as quick, and I think we can really utilise that. And then, yeah, we showed last week what our backs can do and that speed that we have on the outsides and on the edges. So hopefully, if we stick to that game plan and everyone can do what they've been doing in training, I do really think we've got a great opportunity to put it over the line.
You are listening to the Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary, and a little bit of a score update for you. It is 29-7 to Munster against Ulster, and the biggest shock of all, as I said, that Man City got an equaliser, so it is now 1-1 in the semi-final there. Absolute madness. Loads of sports this weekend, and I will be back tomorrow where I will be giving you more. There will be the Cork Hurlers reaction and even a bit about the Gaelic football today. So I will catch you tomorrow. Take care. This was me, Orla O'Leary, on the Big Red Bench.
The Big Red Bench. Cork's Red FM.